As we know, there is, well, politically, there's a great big war going on in this country. And, you know, there's a debate about how to deal with it legislatively, how to deal with it, whether it's a states' rights issue, whether it's a federal issue, whether or not the federal government has completely given away whatever authority it would have and really done nothing. Well, SB4 is part of the big conversation that's going on in Texas, but really going on in the nation. Julian Aguilar is with us. Julian is a reporter for Texas Newsroom out of El Paso. Julian, good to have you on News and Views. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think the best thing you can help folks with right away here on the Northern Plains is to tell them what SB4 is.
So SB4 was a law that was signed by Governor Greg Abbott, a Republican. It was passed by the Republican-dominated legislature. They control both the House and the Senate in Austin, and it greatly expands state immigration enforcement powers. And what I mean by that is that it allows local and state police to arrest someone that they suspect of being in the country illegally. It does not just only apply to the border, although people are arguing, obviously, that's where it will be most in play if it's allowed to stand. It's a statewide bill. So the questions have arisen on how is it going to be enforced? What is the probable cause? You know, are you going to be able to just ask somebody that might look Hispanic or look like they're from an African country, look like they're an immigrant, about their status with for no other reason? And it also allows local judges to order a migrant to return to Mexico. And that's whether the migrant is from Mexico or from another country. So that is basically the main two provisions of that. And opponents are arguing, saying, hey, wait a minute, you got to step back because this has largely been the purview of the federal government. Meanwhile, proponents of the bill, including the governor, have said, look, like you alluded to, the Biden administration isn't doing its job. We have a right to defend ourselves as a sovereign state, and this is why we need this law in place right now.
So is the Biden administration, is the Justice Department challenging this, Julian?
Yes, it's currently tied up in the federal court system. There were two lawsuits that were filed against the bill. The Biden administration, the DOJ, making the main argument that this law is preempted by the federal government. And El Paso County and a group of immigrant and civil rights groups also sued based on that rationale as well. But they also added the component that it's unconstitutional because it will lead to racial profiling. And that's obviously not allowed under the federal government, but they're saying that's exactly what this bill is going to do. Those two lawsuits were combined. A federal district judge in Austin late last month stopped the bill from going into effect. That case is on appeal, and there was a flurry of back and forth over the last 48 hours on whether it was going to stand. As the appeal plays out, the Supreme Court said no, then it said yes, then the appellate court said no. There was a hearing Wednesday morning at the Federal Court of Appeals in New Orleans, which oversees the Texas cases. So as of right now that we're speaking, it's on hold, but until, you know, how long that hold lasts is anybody's guess.
So the federal judge in Austin, who appointed the federal judge in Austin? Obviously, that's a question that's going to be brought to the front of that ruling.
Yes, he was appointed by a Democrat, by President Obama, I believe.
Which I have no doubt will add into the controversy of the whole thing. You know, it's part of the conversation. What did they say how they're going to enforce it? I know you said just a little bit earlier that that's a gray area, but in terms of how you enforce something that where the individual might have the same rights that you and I have and yet be stopped and arrested without having done anything wrong. How do you enforce that?
Yes, correct. And sorry, I just want to make one correction. Actually, the judge was a Reagan appointee. I'm sorry. I had my thoughts on the right, but which also plays into the case because obviously Republicans that are Reagan Republicans, you know, say that was too moderate. But anyway, back to your question. I apologize. So going back to how are you going to enforce it? You know, I think the Democrats would have opposed this bill regardless, but they tried to amend it saying, you know, can law enforcement at least see somebody coming over the border illegally? You know, people that have been keeping up with what's going on here in Texas, they know that under what's called Operation Lone Star, there have been state guard and state police from DPS stationed up and down the border from, you know, Brownsville out here to El Paso. And they're literally arresting people that they're seeing come over on trespassing charges. So that provision is not in the bill. So going back to your question, how do you enforce it? Is it, okay, if you pull somebody over for, say, another crime, or if you're arresting somebody because they committed another crime, then are you going to ask them about their immigration status, which is already the law right now? So these are the questions that have been asked. I mean, you have police departments up and down the border, sheriff's departments saying, not only do we have no guidance on this, but we don't have any additional funding. And what is this going to do to our jail population? But meanwhile, you know, again, you have Republicans that look at the numbers, the record number of unauthorized migrants since the Biden administration has come in, and they say, look, we acknowledge that this bill isn't perfect, but something has to be done right now because this problem is not going away.
Has there been any comparison between this and this law and what was being proposed when the negotiations were going through the United States Senate and the Republicans had brought a piece of legislation forward that in the end, President Trump said you cannot vote for because it'll kill us in the fall. I mean, how does this compare to that?
So that omnibus bill that you're talking about, that you're right, it was a bill, is a bipartisan bill. Even the Border Patrol Union got behind it reluctantly, but they said this is better than nothing. That bill mainly addressed stopping, you know, migrant flows into the border once there are certain thresholds met. You know, I think it was 4,000 a day and then 5,000 a day that would expedite removal. It also made significant changes to the asylum law. It sort of toughened the requirements for somebody to claim that they have a credible fear of returning back to their country. The problem with what Republicans initially, or after former President Trump intervened, when they sort of changed their tune, saying it doesn't go far enough. Like these numbers, 4,000 a day, 5,000 a day, that's still way too much. So you guys are pretty much putting a Band-Aid on this. And then meanwhile, Democrats opposed the Senate bill because they said, look, this is, I mean, you're pretty much gutting the asylum system, which has been, you know, standard law for decades, and you're also removing people without giving them a chance to make their case before an immigration judge if these thresholds kicked in. And the state of Texas is saying, look, why should we have faith that under this law, which, as you said, it's not going anywhere, but had it passed, you know, there were officials saying, if the Biden administration isn't doing its job now, what makes us think that they're going to do their job in the future, with even if they pass another policy?
Julian Aguilar is our guest. He is an El Paso-based reporter for the Texas Newsroom. Julian, let me ask you this. The mood, I mean, just the overall sense of what is going on in Texas. Is it as volatile as everyone nationwide believes it is?
You know, I can't speak for everybody else, but as far as, and obviously I'm more in tune because I cover this, I do this for a living, but yeah, tensions are high. Even before this bill was passed, you had Operation Lone Star that I alluded to, and that's been in effect for 3 years, and that has cost billions of taxpayer dollars. That has led some border communities to say, you know, our way of life has pretty much been interrupted for the last 3 years. Meanwhile, the governor isn't taking his foot off the pedal. And we also have to realize that this isn't the only case that's tied up in the courts right now that involved Texas and the federal government. We're still waiting on a ruling about whether or not Texas and Border Patrol, there's a back and forth between Texas and Border Patrol over the razor wire that's been installed. The Supreme Court said earlier that, you know, Border Patrol agents can remove it if they have to, for their safety or for migrant safety. And then that led the state of Texas to pretty much seize a public park down in Eagle Pass, and they're not allowing Border Patrol to patrol that park anymore. So, there is a standoff. And then just, I think, the fear in the immigrant communities, before SB4 was even signed into law, they were already, you know, planning legal challenges, but they're also having, like, Know Your Rights campaigns and, you know, what you're legally allowed to keep from a cop or not answer. You know, there's all these sort of protests that are going to be planned for it. And it just, you know, Texas is, our motto is that, you know, we're the friendly state. And I think at least on this issue, it definitely does not feel that way right now. And, you know, people that could have before disagreed amicably seem to just be more at each other's throats now because of the climate that we're in, especially on the issue of unauthorized immigration.
Has there been any investigation or arrests or deportation from individuals of where let me put it this way, Julian. Have they ever raided a business and said, look, we know you're hiring illegals here, and thus done enforcement through a business?
So those raids, you know, they're done mainly by the federal government, by, you know, ICE, you know, they're, you know, checking I-9s and employment verification. As far as I know, the state's posture right now in Operation Lone Star, it's just preventing the illegal entry and then also, you know, making investigations into other crimes. But the workforce enforcement in Texas, despite Republicans saying, you know, we're going to crack down on illegal immigration, Texas is pretty moderate on their workforce employment statutes that they can make as a state. Going back to a Supreme Court decision from the last decade, there was another one also out of Arizona, but there was another one that said, you know, states can enact their own E-Verify laws. Texas's only E-Verify law deals with state contractors and state agencies. It doesn't apply to private business owners. It's no secret that Texas businesses employ a lot of undocumented labor, especially, you know, in agriculture and service industries and construction industries. So, you know, there's sort of a discussion on the Democrat side saying, look, you guys are kind of being hypocritical, saying you're going to clamp down on this all the way, but worksite enforcement is very, very weak. And at least in the few hours that SB4 was allowed to go into play before it was blocked again, there were no arrests made under SB4. So the data really isn't there to see how it's going to play out, if it's allowed to play out.
Okay. Man, you are in the middle of a firestorm. Great reporting on this. Tell people where they can find your work, Julian.
Sure. So the Texas Newsroom, it's a collaboration of NPR's public radio stations. So you can find us at KERA.org, at Texas Public Radio, KTEP out here in El Paso, Houston Public Media, KUT.org out in Austin, Marfa Public Radio in the Big Bend.
And if you go to my Twitter account, you know, I put a tag to Julian Dene this morning so that you could find him and follow him there as well. Julian, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet.